Thanks be to the Lord for the great privilege that we can be here tonight, that we may worship in the Spirit and in truth. Many are worshipping, but they worship in vain. The Lord himself says, in vain do you worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. What good is a service? What good is a worship? What singing, praying? For what? If everything was in vain. When at the end of the course of life, the great disappointment takes place. What was then the whole purpose of it? And so we understand the words of our Lord. We understand more and more, deeper and better. We understand it, what he said in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 24. God seeks such worshippers who worship him in spirit and in truth. People who are penetrated by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. People to whom God has spoken, they have the right to again speak with him. All the others who don't listen to God, to them also God will not listen. A conversation is a thing which cannot be done one-sided. But the word itself says it. To a conversation belong at least two, unless one would be foolish to soliloquize. But the speaking with God in prayer and the speaking of God with us through the word belong together. And only people to whom God could really speak through his word, they can again speak with him, and he listens to them, and he will bless them. The judgment, we don't speak. This God already spoke. But that's how it is really written in Mark 7 and on other places. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Right, this word, in the past days, it really touched me much. When above all the services, about all the efforts to stand before God, the word is written in vain. In vain are all the services in which people speak. In vain is every gathering in which God cannot speak. And then it becomes greater and greater to us what it means that God in this last generation has spoken to us directly. Through his word, which he determined for this time. God's speaking is not the fantasy of a mystic. God's speaking is the revelation of his will and of his word through the Holy Spirit. And this, in this time, we understood by his grace. Beloved, One can only judge this correctly and appreciating it if one sometimes is amongst people who cannot believe what God has said and who perhaps even don't know that God has spoken. You all know, I was 2 weekends in a row in London on the 12th and 13th and likewise on the 18th and 19th. And then in Austria, in Vienna, in Salzburg, in other cities, and then back to Zurich. But right what I experienced there in London on the 18th was very profound for me. And I think also for all who were present. Like there were people, priests, ministers, preachers, people of a high ranking. They were seeking for possibilities for mankind to bring to mankind the gospel. And they were speaking of that the world should be reached. They were speaking of that a satellite would be set over the equator and that then the programs are broadcasted from it. I'm always interested in that God's word is proclaimed. But when I tell you today, on that programs of which they were speaking of there, is neither God nor someone who knows, who is illuminated by God, interested in. One would not believe it. That such people, on one side, they speak of that mankind must be reached with the gospel, and this at all costs. And on the other hand, they want to have their own program with entertainment, music, with sports news, with all kinds of things. They all want to frame this, bringing in a nice entertainment. You can imagine, while I listened for a couple of hours there, you all know what went on within me. Usually I only sweat while preaching, but there I really, the sweat dropped down from me when I just listened to that. I just put off my jacket and then I waited that my time comes. I don't want to go here into details, but God has given grace right to these people of the BBC London, and many, whether Salvation Army, all were there. I was the last speaker. God has led it in such a way. And I told these people, in a couple of minutes, I presented the program of God by His grace. Beloved, one must be able to bring the truth humbly and not in arrogance. One doesn't have to look down on others, but one has to submit to them, bowing to them, if one wants to help them. And I tell you, God has helped. I think the letter was today in the post box, or yesterday, that they want to send my speech to the World Radio in Monte Carlo, that many should hear what was said there. And I gave the challenge there, whether that, what was spoken of there, whether that is in agreement with that, what the apostles had to preach in the name of the Lord at the beginning. And I was allowed to point to it that we are living now in the end time, and that it is now important to not make any mixing, but to bring a clear proclamation according to the apostolic pattern to the people. Of everything else, we have already enough. And sometimes I really get too much and I explode it. But it's a gift of God to remain humbly and to be in love. One cannot take it for oneself. The Salvation Army general and the most various people, they came and said, "Brother Frank, do you come again to London?" I say, "God willing, in November." The people gave me their addresses. They came for prayer. And they knew and they noticed that there was a difference between all the suggestions and all them who spoke there and between the direct proclamation of the Word of God. Beloved, this didn't grow in our garden. This we didn't give to ourselves. This God has given to us by His grace. It's a gift of our God in this time. Also, we would be there where all the others are. One thing I felt, that people are seeking, they are searching, and they don't know what they are searching for. And God, by grace, He has given us and entrusted us this wonderful message. I will never forget it when I sat opposite of this Bishop Ramsay and I told him briefly some things. And then when I mentioned the name of William Branham, then he really sat on his chair to the front. And this man says, "William Branham?" I said, "Yes." And he answers, "I know him very well." Where was it? On Kingston, Jamaica. I arranged his meetings some years in a row. And he reached to his left and he said, "Here I have his picture with a pillar of cloud." And then he says the following, "Brother Frank, since the days of Jesus Christ, such a ministry, which William Branham had it, such a ministry was not on earth." I wanted to ask him, what is his turned around collar and his cross on his chest? But I can do it some other day. One doesn't have to do all things at once. You know, recently the thought came to me that we as people, when we get believers, we are getting a bit unnatural. We are then not exactly that what God wanted to make out of us. If we could just be correct on both sides, just real children of men and real children of God, and not a thing which we put artificially in between. And here I have to think of Brother Branham. He was a man who stood with both feet on the ground. He went hunting, he went fishing, he had his hobbies in the natural life. I've counted the rifles, 49 rifles. And we would say, "One moment, please. But one thing I want to tell you. This great man of God remained normal. Most of the believers are getting nuts and they put on themselves an artificial sanctification and righteousness and then don't get nothing else but Pharisees. And so we have a large number of Pharisees in the kingdom of God, which are more holy than all the others. But with this, God and His kingdom is not helped at all. God wants true children in his kingdom. And he also wants to have reasonable citizens who know how to behave. And I think we as believing people, we truly in every way, we must remain in the way that others get an example from us, also in the natural. Then there were meetings in Austria, also again something very special. The meeting in Vienna, I reported to you shortly, it was very critical. The Albert Schweitzer House belongs, of course, to the Lutheran Church. And the pastor, which I met there, he asked me three questions in a row, quick as a shot. The first question was, do you belong to the World Council of Churches? I said, no. And the second was, do you belong to the Lutheran Alliance? And I said, no. And the third question was, do you at least belong to the Pentecostal Church? And I said, no. And of course, everything was finished. And then he told me, and my brother Hans Bauer, we were together there. He said, if I would have known this, then I was actually not permitted to rent you this building. But what he does not know, God knew it, that many people came for the first time to hear the word of God. And when the name Albert Schweitzer should draw people, then let it draw them. But then the name of Jesus Christ was in the building. And so we're grateful to God for everything. In Salzburg, we had a wonderful heavenly atmosphere. And our sister, who was here for a visit from Vienna, she told me that somebody was there who wanted to interrupt me. She tried to straighten me out on a teaching point. Yes. And, but she didn't get any word. And at the end, she was so overwhelmed and she had nothing to say anymore. When the word of God is proclaimed in truth, then there's no man who has to speak something there. Then all should hear and take it to heart, thanking God for it. I may not forget to say what our precious brother, who he arrived with his son from Belgium. It was around midday, and he was greeting me. And he said, I have such a hunger. I have such a hunger. And because it was around midday, I started to think about it. And he said, I have such a hunger for God, for Jesus. I am come to have an experience with God. Beloved, this is something wonderful. This is something wonderful. And I think that all we have come to have an experience with God, we didn't come to hear a sermon. We have come to have an encounter with God. Tonight, we will have the Lord's Supper. And this is actually suitable, the best, to show us the reconciliation with God, to write it into our hearts what redemption means and what God has done through Jesus Christ our Lord for us and in us by his grace. There could be read many words. Actually, they should be read here. But we, of course, know already God's word. It was, of course, written into our hearts. One doesn't need to read chapter after chapter to tell believing people what is written in the Bible. We are living with God. They read God's word. They believe God's word. They receive it in themselves. And therefore, we can be brief with this. And perhaps we just read some scriptures which refer to it. The first one from Galatians, the last chapter. Galatians chapter 6 from verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. Beloved, this is a wonderful word. At that time, already the argument started about circumcision or uncircumcision. What should be done? And here Paul puts the cross and the crucified one into the center and says, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is important, but the Christ Jesus, the crucified one. Some were glorifying to be not have been circumcised, and the other ones gloried that they were circumcised. And all were thinking for themselves to have something. Paul, a man of God, who received a special commission, and with it, receiving a divine responsibility. And not only that, but receiving divine inspiration for the certain points and questions to give the right answers in the presence of God. Because it's not only important that an answer is given, but it's important that on divine questions, a divine answer is given so that all know what's all about. You all can read it. What Paul was said through Ananias in the form of a prophecy at his conversion. It's written in the book of Acts, chapter 22, Acts 22, verse 12. And one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me, and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, the God of our fathers has chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Perhaps so far this word. Coming back to this word from Galatians 6. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And then, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And then, in 2 Corinthians 5, we can read where Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he has become a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And of these people is being said, and all who walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy. All who have become a new creature, who really were born again by the Word and by the Spirit of God, they found peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And wherever they walk or stand, this divine peace accompanies them, which has come upon them by the divine mercy. People who cause nothing but unrest are not born again. They didn't receive this peacemaking in Christ. They didn't experience it. And perhaps we read from it a well-known word to all of us from Ephesians chapter 2, from verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Did we all hear this? Did we all read it? Through the cross of Calvary, the enmity, the letter of requirements, the middle wall of partition was abolished. And a man who was far away from God, a man was made which has come nigh to God. And this man who was full of unrest has become a peacemaker, a new man. He was transformed. This is the true sign of a genuine conversion and new birth, which a man must experience with God. Let us not bypass this lightly. Brother Branham says on one place that the enemy can imitate every gift. Yes, outwardly, one can do as if one would float above the clouds, and suddenly one goes blue in the face because one is beside oneself with rage, and no trace of the peace of God anymore. Not above the clouds, but on the victory ground of Calvary. There where our redemption and reconciliation took place. Under the cross, we have to pray through until we had an experience with God and something new would have become from us. This doesn't happen from outward. From the outward, we can receive all the new doctrines. We can do. We can make many things new, but this will not suffice. It must happen on our inside by His grace. He abolished the middle wall of partition. The enmity was abolished. After, in His flesh, the law of commandments and contained in ordinances, He had put it away. For thus, making a new man, so making peace as a peacemaker. Dear heart, precious soul, let us ask ourselves the question whether God, you and me, could make a new man, could make us a peacemaker to a man who has peace with God, who on all his ways makes peace, who makes peace with all his words, with all his deeds, with everything that goes with it. Our Lord says, if it be possible, as much as it lies in you, live peaceably with all men. If others are hostile to us, then we cannot change anything. But we may belong to those in whose hearts the peace of God, which is bypassing all the understanding of men, and we are grateful to God for it. Now one word from Philippians, which fits to it. It says here, from verse 9, perhaps from verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He humbled Himself. He was obedient unto the death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. Beloved, with the cross and with the being crucified, our walk of obedience starts with God. There the way of God starts, and our own way ends there. There the will of God starts, where our own will ends. There, with our, where we come to our end with our own will, with our own program, there God starts with His eternal program. And this we must and may grasp by faith, that we have become a part of the divine program. Today, we want and we will, with God's help, we will have the Lord's Supper tonight. Our Lord gave the Lord's Supper as a memorial, as he shed his blood. Yes. And we cannot do otherwise but to think on Exodus 12, when there the Lord wanted to lead out his people out of bondage. You all know what happened. First plague, second plague, third plague, until the 10th plague. And nothing happened at all. Through all the miracles and through all the signs, the heart of Pharaoh was more and more hardened. But then came the divine command to kill the Pesach lamb. And before the Pesach lamb could be killed, all had to gird themselves. All had to clothe themselves. All had to put on the shoes, being ready to go out. Beloved, if we celebrate the Lord's Supper tonight, then not being unprepared, that everyone wants to remain as he is, but rather let us have the courage and say, Lord, here we are. Take us as we are. We are ready to go out in the moment where the Pesach lamb was killed. There was no turning back anymore, no reasoning, no other sign, no other miracle. There was the Exodus, beloved. When Christ did his ministry on the earth, many experienced the healing and the miracles. The multitudes were following him. But when on the cross of Calvary the blood was shed, and when he cried out, "It is finished," then it was not only about some here and some there who were following the Lord, but about all of mankind in all nations of the world. On the cross of Calvary, the sacrifice was given for all who want to place themselves on the altar. But with us, there must be the readiness, the willingness to go out with the Lord, so that the blood of reconciliation was not shed in vain. And that's very important tonight. Not only that we celebrate the Lord's Supper and say, Lord, I remember your suffering and your dying. Before the Pesach lamb was killed, all had to be girded, even with the rod in their hands. And they had to take the Pesach in a hurry, because it was the destruction angel destroyed and killed everything what was not under the protection of the blood. Beloved, this means Calvary today for the New Testament church. We must be ready to go out with the Lord, leaving the world behind us with everything what goes with it, following our Lord. If we do it this way, then God will give his blessing to it. Then we can confidently arrive at the Red Sea and the Lord will divide it. Then we can arrive in the desert and the Lord will give water from the rock and manna. He will let manna rain from heaven. Calvary has a much greater significance than we can tell it or grasp it today. May the Holy Spirit really reveal it to us. That the willingness, the readiness must be also with us to leave Egypt behind us and not looking back anymore. Later on we read of the people of Israel that they looked back. Beloved, this God did not forgive them. They perished in the desert because they didn't trust God. They didn't believe Him. Beloved, the redemption work is a precious, a holy work of God for the fallen mankind, a offer to all who would like to receive it. Beloved, let us say tonight, God does not know any church memberships, but He knows a blood-bought flock which will stand before the throne of God. And to this blood-bought flock, we want to belong at all costs. This is the whole purpose of Calvary. Beloved, let us not look back anymore. Otherwise, we become a pillar of salt. Let us look to Jesus, the author and finisher of the faith. If we partake today of the bread and wine, and remembering the suffering and the blood of Jesus, then let us say in our hearts, Lord, I'm ready to go out with You. I'm ready to follow You. I'm ready to bear Your reproach. You have come to us and You paid the price. I'm ready to follow You. And I receive and I partake of the Lord's Supper, which proclaims Your death, which proclaims Your reconciliation, Your shedding of Your blood, showing it to me. And I acknowledge that it happened for me. And I thank You for it. Let us today partake of the Lord's Supper in this inner attitude and conviction. As a songwriter sings, never going back, never going back. For us, there's no going back anymore. Where should we go? Only Thou has the words of eternal life. God has given us a full salvation in Christ Jesus our Lord by His grace. Do you want to receive it today? Then go out to meet your God and be ready in your heart to really follow Him. And don't take Egypt with you, but leave it behind. May the Lord bless His holy and precious word in all of us by His grace. Now, just the one hint here. Let it be permitted here concerning the foot washing. We, at this place, we recognized that every word of God is yes and amen. We have understood so much that there's no man on earth who has the right to make the word of God of no effect. You have the choice, but make it according to the word of God. I just read from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, so that you know that is really not the thing which we want to do. I myself, I never would have done it in my life. This I promise you. But here, it's really written in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, from verse 4, as follows. He rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter says unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus says unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, and said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. What can I for it? Am I responsible for what our Lord said? Or do I have to do what he commanded? Beloved, we just arrived at the end of days, and we want, in as much as it lies with us, we don't want to interpret one word. The time for interpretations is over for the church. During many years, I've heard many interpretations about this word. They laughed about it, and they said, Today, one just cleans the shoes for somebody, and then the matter is finished. Not like this. God's word is holy, and it must be obeyed as we were commanded. And I just ask you, should somebody be here who does not have it as a revelation yet? You don't have to feel compelled to do it. Then you are with us next time. Do nothing unless you do it out of conviction to do the will of God. I know it of myself, also of others. Sometimes one needs a bit of time to think about it. Not everybody can understand everything at once and then do everything. Although we should not tell you to say it's up to you, but if somebody's here who doesn't see it on the inside and who doesn't do it with a free heart, don't you worry. Then you just are with us the next time doing it. Nobody should feel compelled or forced, really freely deciding. And I'm sure that God will bless us all, that he will help us, and that he will be with us. Today, we at this place can have a Lord's Supper with our Lord, experiencing it. We can experience the power of God, the victory of Calvary, and everything what goes with it. Today, at this place, we can experience it. Let us be ready on our inside to follow the Lord and saying, Lord, you were ready to give your life for me. I'm ready to consecrate my life to you. Receive it and use me as you want to use me. Make me a blessing for others. And God will do it by His grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again together for this evening, for this hour, for everything, Lord. What we could do today in your name, let us remain a blessing. You have done so great things for us. We are so grateful for it. And we know you are leading all ways so wonderfully. Also, sometimes, although we sometimes don't understand it, but we see at the end that everything is well. Praise be to your name. Now, faithful Lord, be with us as we go to our rest. May you keep your protecting hands over us, and may you be with us, and may you bring us tomorrow again together in your blessing. This is our prayer in the precious name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.